All right. Good evening and welcome to the 21st of May's meeting of the Kitsap County Planning Commission. Thank you for your participation. First item for the agenda is introductions. We'll start on my far right.
Jonathan Tudian, South Kitsap.
Stacy Smith, representing South Kitsap.
Alan Beam, Central Kitsap.
Good evening, Richard Shattuck from Central Kitsap.
Carrie Kaltenborn, South Kitsap.
And online?
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
And I'm Joe Phillips from North Kitsap. Hybrid meeting protocols. Please silence all your electronic devices during the meeting. If attending in person, please refrain from conversations with other attendees or staff during the meeting. If you wish to comment during the public comment, we have four methods available. First, for those attending in person, for the public comment period, you just indicate that you wish to speak. If you're wishing to testify, please sign up on the ledger in the back of the room. Second, the virtual attendees use the raised hand button at the bottom of the Zoom window. Your name will be called and your microphone will be unmuted. Third, call-in attendees can signal by pressing *9 on your keypad. Your last four digits of your phone number will be called and you will be connected. You may need to dial *6 to unmute your phone. And fourth, written comments, testimonies can be submitted to the staff or emailed to awalston@kitsap.gov by 2 p.m. the day prior to the meeting. Please include the date of the meeting the comments are meant for, your name, the agenda item or subject you're addressing, in the general area that you live in. Comments are limited for public comment period. Comments are limited to 2 minutes and 3 minutes for public hearings. These times are adjustable by the chair when appropriate. Okay. For tonight's meeting, for adoption of the agenda, please note that only the minutes for the March 5th, 2024 meeting are available, so we won't be, the other three will be at a later time. And we're also combining the two general public comment periods to at the end of the public hearing. So we will, once we're done with the minutes, we'll go into the public hearing. All right. Unless I hear any objections to the minutes or to the agenda, all right, it'll be adopted. And now we have adoption of the minutes for March 5th. Do I have a motion to adopt the minutes?
I move to adopt the minutes for March 5th.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
All right. All those in favor of the minutes as presented, please indicate approval by raising your hand. And it is unanimous. Thank you. With that, we will start with the public hearing. Kathleen Bernard.
Getting warmed up. Thank you. While that's getting warmed up on the screen there. Good evening, everyone. Kathleen Barnhart, Senior Planner with Kitsap County's Department of Community Development. I will make this as brief as I can so we get right into the public hearing, but I would like to take just a few moments to summarize the process of the Critical Areas Ordinance update to date, where this goes after today's hearing, and suggested method for going through deliberations next month. So the CAO update process began in early 2023 in conjunction with our periodic review and update of our comprehensive plan. There was a public participation plan and website launched. And then about a year ago in May of 2023 was the formal public kickoff of the CAO update with a virtual public meeting. Last summer, we completed a best available science and gap analysis to help guide the scope of this periodic update. We also convened a critical area specific working groups consisting of tribes, state agencies, and stakeholders. Fall and winter and into 2024, staff worked on code development of the preliminary draft and continued with presentations to community groups. On March 8th of this year, the preliminary draft was released for public comment along with the programmatic SEPA DNS. So this initial comment period ran through April 26th and is continued by today's hearing. On April 2nd and 16th, the Planning Commission held two work studies on the draft changes, which brings us to today, May 21st, the Planning Commission public hearing on that preliminary draft. So for the process moving forward, staff will add today's comments to the comment matrix. There's an interim version of which is posted online already. Two deliberation dates are scheduled. We have June 4th and June 18th. Planning Commission will receive all comments and staff responses in full. However, since they are extensive, for the purposes of moving through deliberations, the issues and suggested code edits will be summarized in a roll-up of comments and staff responses for your consideration. We are not expecting to go line by line through the code or the comments, but we will likely go by chapter like we did for the work study, addressing where comments have been made, potential code edits to address them where appropriate, and then any other items the Planning Commission would like to discuss for that section. So from those discussions and the decisions, staff will draft a findings and recommendations document for the Planning Commission to consider at your July 2nd meeting. Note that a completed change matrix with proposed revisions based both on public comment and Planning Commission recommendations is expected to be available for public review and comment around mid-July prior to the Board of County Commissioners hearing currently scheduled for August 26th. So with that, unless there are any questions or clarifications on the process, I'll hand it back to the chair.
All right. Thank you. And let's see, do we have speakers?
You want to go with in-room, in-person first? Okay, we'll grab the sheet real quick. Okay, so first we've got Ian Harkins.
Good evening, Planning Commissioners. My name is Ian Harkins. I'm here on behalf of the Kitsap Building Association. I just want to let you know many people here in the audience and mainly online are KBA members, and the CAO regulations and amendments before you today affect them and their businesses drastically. The proposed amendments to the critical areas ordinance bring harsh measures for pretty negligible gains. We at the KBA are huge proponents of clean building and protecting the environment, but we are also faced with addressing the preeminent crisis plaguing our community, housing affordability. Households cannot afford to live in this county as it is, and the amendments to the CAO further add to this problem. By reducing the amount of buildable land through buffer increases, the county will soon be faced with an even worse affordability problem. We urge the Planning Commission to recommend keeping the same buffer widths where possible, which have been shown to clean pollutants extremely effectively as is. Doubling existing buffers provides very little environmental return, especially considering the negative impacts it would have on affordability by drastically reducing the amount of land that we can build homes on. We also urge this commission to recommend reductions to buffers for type O streams. We know there's not a lot of type O streams in the county, but reducing those buffers where you can makes a lot of sense. The county has already said they're open to doing this, so we recommend you recommend that. In order to provide enough dense housing to meet the growing need, we must consider every proposed regulation very intentionally. Any further regulation added to housing construction will work towards preventing Kitsap residents from acquiring housing. This is as important as ever right now, as an aircraft carrier is coming to our shore, whether we like it or not. Those people need to be housed, and we cannot build enough as it is. Again, doubling existing buffers really hurts what is already a worrying and tough problem to handle. So thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Francis Naglich? Naglich?
Thank you, Planning Commission. Francis Naglich, Ecological Land Services, wetland consultant, biologist for 30 years. Our office is located at the Port of Bremerton, out at the airport. Locally, we have staff. We have five biologists who work every day in and out doing critical areas studies for clients, developing land, single family homeowners, doing as simple as carports, driveways, additions. So I know I have only a short time to talk here, but we're here helping the Kitsap Builders Association address some of the issues that we think will be too restrictive and in some cases almost punitive to a landowner or a developer. I want to address the avoidance issue. There's a lot of times that ordinances, they really stress avoidance, and we agree with that. We want to avoid all impacts to critical areas too. But just think about this. Of all the projects that we work at in Kitsap County, roughly 50% of them can be avoided. We can do a report, the people can stay out of the buffer, and it works. The other 50% have an impact, and those are usually unavoidable. Like I said, a driveway, a road across a stream, through a wetland or around a wetland to get access to buildable ground. So keep in mind that avoidance has to be kept in context to what's really happening out there. There's a provision in the ordinance for wetlands that is very concerning about requiring landowners who come in with a permit to do a new project, maybe expand their house, do a carport, whatever. And if their buffer to their current wetland is determined to be, like, for example, 110 feet, and the buffer is, in the agency's mind, not sufficient enough, like it doesn't have enough trees, it doesn't have enough native plants, well, the landowner may have to provide a bigger buffer. And I'm like, well, how does that work if the house is already in the buffer or 110 feet away from that wetland in that case? So that seems punitive. I've never seen that put in an ordinance like this, where actually existing conditions are now having to be changed to meet some kind of code requirement. Example, I have a farm that's a small farm that's been in the family for decades, almost a century. Three generations have lived there. We have an apple orchard within 25 feet of a wetland. Well, if I wanted to add a house or remodel or something like that, am I going to have to tear out the apple orchard now and plant native plants? That doesn't make sense. It's punitive. So you have to look at existing conditions and give people the space and the respect to know how they manage their own land. It'd be one thing if it was totally damaged and trashed in that respect, but most people do take good care of their land, and I think that should be respected in the ordinance. Another thing is the concern of the Kitsap Builders Association, and I will echo that concern about the width of buffers for seasonal streams. So for perennial streams, it's recommended to be 100 feet. For seasonal streams, it's recommended to also be 100 feet. 100 feet is a lot for a seasonal stream. And let's remember what seasonal is. Seasonal could flow only for 2 or 3 months a year, and the rest of the time it's dry. And you could probably go out and find some of these channels that are fairly dry most of the year. But to have 100 feet off of that is restrictive. So we would ask for some reduction in that regard.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Okay.
Thank you so much.
John Taylor.
Thank you, commissioners. My name is John Taylor. I live in Central Kitsap. I'm a lifelong resident of Kitsap County. I want to address a little bit different subject, perhaps. In 1990, the Growth Management Act was adopted by the state of Washington and Kitsap County. I was opposed to that at the time. And now I'd like to point out to you that 30-some years later, when you drive around Kitsap County or most any place, you see the results of Growth Management Act. My solution to it is get rid of some of the regulations. And when you consider regulations, consider them in favor of the homeowner, the landowner, the property owner, the taxpayer, rather than the government. Getting rid of some of these regulations is, I think, the answer to our housing problem. I've been also a real estate agent for 33 years and a developer. I read in today's paper at lunchtime that in addition to spending the money to do the Growth Management Act, the government is now, this is the state of Washington, has now spent $8 billion trying to solve the problem that they created in 1990. I'm a firm believer in going back to the root cause of the problem and deal with that and quit trying to put Band-Aids on it is what we're doing now. Thank you for your attention. And I appreciate your service.
All right. Thank you.
Eric Nemeth.
Hello, my name is Eric Nemeth, resident Kitsap County for 50 years. I myself don't put a lot of faith into giving a lot of leeway to property owners in the sense that, like, they know what's best for their property. They want to take care of the environment. I mean, just as even somebody that wants to, you know, build an ADU or just, you know, simply do things, and they've gone through all the paperwork and all the hassle and finally got it done. We have examples of it as we look into the community of those kinds of things, because we look at, like, what are the marketing attempts here by groups? What are they trying to propose? What are they trying to say? And is it real? Or is it just something that exists, you know, within a dialogue? And quite honestly, I've been ignorant to the environment and ecosystems. I'm not a biologist. I don't have any of those things, but I can ask questions and I can find people and I'm a researcher. And what I find is that people don't know, and they operate within what they don't know. I can show you evidence of backfill that have ruined streams. I can show you evidence of, and that's as a developer, I can show you evidence of people developing the property, calling a creek, having documented it as being a creek on the paperwork, push it through as a drainage ditch to try to get done what they want to get done. So the idea that property owners, simple ones, and I don't slam developers. I mean, my God, the ability to take their creativity and to put it out for people to see is just beautiful. But they're in business to make money, right? And so really it's about money. And I honestly, you know, you talk about developers and what the problem is and where the problems lie, no regulation and all this kind of stuff. I think it's pretty simple because I researched it. And I honestly think the crux of the problem is since 1998, when they moved the funding from DCD from general funds to specialty revenue and generating it from permits, they love to rack up permits and string people out for years because that's where they make their money. And they've got to keep people coming is the way I see it. And quite honestly, I don't think the problem is with the government. I think the problem is with the international building codes and everything's outdated. And you wouldn't know that unless you look globally. You want to look within the U.S. and then good luck trying to figure anything out. I think the answers are outside the country. So good luck. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Now we've got Anthony Angelo.
Hi, thank you. Anthony Agello from South Kitsap. I wasn't going to speak until I heard the Kitsap Builder Association talking. I'm more in agreement with the gentleman who spoke a couple speakers ago. I've lived in Kitsap. I've watched Port Orchard slowly get destroyed, Kitsap County getting deteriorating. From the time I moved in 2010 to now, these apartments mushrooming up, these cheap apartments, these cookie cutter apartments everywhere. To me, it's disgraceful. It's going to hurt what brought people into Kitsap, creative people, innovative people, entrepreneurial people in the first place, because those people who made Kitsap what it is and well was, and hopefully it doesn't get to a point where it gets too deteriorated, but they came here for a reason. If you look at Kitsap's main site for visiting Discover Kitsap, it's all about the natural resources here, how beautiful it is. It's scenic. It brings in tourism. Once all this old forest growth, wildlife is gone, what do you have? You have what the mess they made over in Seattle, the mess they made over in Snohomish County. I've lived coast to coast and in between. I've had my own development company, so I'm not anti-development. I'm against people coming in for a quick buck, popping up a bunch of units that anybody can do. You don't even need to be a general contractor to be able to do that. Let's do this responsibly. Once, I'm not a biologist either, but you don't have to be a biologist to know that seasonal flow, it helps. It helps the whole area as a whole. I mean, that's what keeps everything green. That's what's going to keep the land the way it's supposed to be. It's common sense. God gave me common sense and gave all of us common sense, and I hope we use it. And that's what I want to say. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Marla Powers. Hi there. Good evening. My name is Marla Powers. I'm a staff for the Port Gamble Skalem Tribe. I just had a couple comments for you. I've already voiced these a couple other times and in writing for the comprehensive plan update, but those comments are kind of separate from these. So the thing I wanted to speak about first is that the biggest impact, the biggest change to protect critical areas that the Planning Commission can make would be to eliminate administrative variances to CAO buffer reductions and to maximize a buffer reduction of no more than 25% reduced. So via a variance, and then to make sure that the concurrence of tribes are part of that variance concurrence process so that we can continue to try to protect the critical areas and the tribes' treaty rights and fish habitat. I'd also like to encourage the county to keep looking for responses to the legal lot of record problem. I've heard a lot of homes are fully encumbered by buffers or will be now. There are, you know, solutions to that problem, and I encourage the county to look into those so that when a property is fully encumbered, we can come up with a way to protect the environment and allow development that is more reasonably balanced than what we currently see in variance perspectives. And I will be providing some comments in the future that relate to adding species of local importance and their associated habitats to the critical areas so that we can protect, you know, mature cedar groves. We can further protect very important salmon habitats and other habitats of local importance. So look forward to those. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Kathy Lustig.
Hi, I wasn't planning on speaking tonight either, but I will. Speaking of buffers, I've been taking a very close look for about 8 weeks at Enatai Creek. And I have field verified where Anatai Creek joins with Illihi Creek south of the Beaver Ponds up between North Perry and Trenton. In that area, it's a huge wetlands. And I've tracked it down. I live in Rosewood Estates right near Trenton. And what I've learned a lot, and I've seen a lot of trash. I know that there is a culvert at Trenton that is collapsed and has been collapsed for some time. There was a huge restoration project down at the south end of Anatai Beach Road that was supposed to be for restoration of salmon. And even at that time, it was notified everybody that the Trenton culvert was blocked. I've gone out there with an engineer who's a stormwater engineer, and all the stormwater is being totally dumped into this creek with no filtration whatsoever. And it's all coming from down Trenton and the whole area. I mean, this is just an example of a creek that I just talked to a resident who told me about all the fish that used to be down there and how the flow is a third of what it was 40 years ago. Neighbors tell me their kids used to fish in that creek. So, and there is somebody up at the north end that is calling it a drainage ditch, and there's people that are filling in the ditch along the way. That's just an example of one of the things that's going on here. And I will say that I have become, not only am I with Save Anatai, but a coalition of small groups from all over the county are starting to gather on the basis of the fact that we have all the problems have resulted from DCD not enforcing the CAOs. And then the variances are just whittled down to nothing. So there's a whole other side of enforcement out here of protecting the environment that is not being done. And I think that the people that who are for the private property rights, I mean, I understand where they're coming from, but they aren't always good stewards of the land. And I can just say, do you think what's happening on the Fisher Platte and the old Cheney Estate, is that a reasonable thing to do? Is that a good steward of the land? I don't think so. So I encourage you to strengthen or enforce what we have and be reasonable for everybody.
All right. Thank you.
That's everybody that we have on the list in person. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Looks like we have at least one more. Want to come on up?
Thank you, commissioners. Thank you, all the rest of you who spoke tonight. Lots of good information. Michael Gustafson, live in South Kitsap and Southworth. Tonight, I'd like to take a different approach. I'd like to celebrate the environment and those who most enjoy it 365 days a year, whether it's raining or snowing or whatever, they're out there. But why are they out there all year long? You might say we have a housing shortage, with only about one-fifth of our population able to afford a currently built house. So the top 20% can afford to buy here. 50 years ago, when I came to Kitsap County, there was effectively no homelessness. There was no housing shortage. Housing was affordable and plentiful. Prices averaged 2.5 to 3 times median family income. Today, they are far more than double that, statewide. So what's different? Back then we had no zoning, we had very little regulation. Regulations cost a lot of money. There were plenty of salmon and no buffers. Today we have massive buffers and no salmon. Meanwhile, the real threat of the salmon, toxic highway runoff, is ignored. There are no buffers on roadside ditches, none. So why do we bother? Since 2013, Washington State has increased homelessness mitigation funding fivefold in the last 10 years. We're spending five times as much money to get rid of the, to help the homeless folks. the rate of construction has doubled at the same time, and the rate of housing built by the state has doubled. But what are we building? Apartments? Where home equity ownership, where the equity of home ownership is not realized. Rents rise every year. I'm a landlord. I can tell you that. If you buy a home mortgage, it stays flat forever, or until it's paid off. At the real rate of current inflation, rents very quickly strip people out of housing that are on retirement fixed incomes. Grandma's going to go to the tents. Several cases have come to the Supreme Court, the most recent one being Sheets versus El Dorado County, California, on access, road access fees, prohibiting that fee being levied on the individual builder when in fact it's a public benefit. Also, they said all other regulations need to be addressed by their true impact. If it's a global impact, it needs to be funded globally, not by the individual permit applicant. Pay attention to the federal law. This follows Nolan versus California Coastal Commission, that all property owners must enjoy equal treatment in setbacks. Dolan versus City of Tigard, that zoning cannot be used as a way to pay for other public improvements. Coons versus St. John's River, person's property cannot be taken to because it will help fund a public improvement. So have we gone mad? What are these proposed zoning regulations that we're currently looking at going to do to increase the supply of housing? Well, in truth, the only actual criteria for construction on a lot needs to be the availability of water, power, septic or sewer, and road access. That's been the criteria for millennia. Now we're off to all kinds of space age wonderful things that cost money and put people out of housing. This is the only road to affordable single family housing. There are no threatened or endangered species in Kitsap County. We are one of the unusual places that you can build any place. We need to unlock all of our land so people can afford to be here. Allowing construction creates lots of local jobs. Many of our outdoor people simply lack opportunity. Drug dependency also follows depression, typically because of lack of opportunity. It's time to reflect on President Reagan's quip, government isn't the solution, government is the problem. You fine folks, I appreciate your work. I did it myself for a decade, read a lot of this stuff. Are we really helping to create opportunity for housing development? Or are we making it more expensive and putting more people out of housing? Almost every day we have another newspaper article on homelessness. That was never the case. We can solve this problem, but we have to take a stand in Kitsap County. We have to become leaders in the state. Move ahead and not stand behind, they made me do it. Not necessarily the case. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gunderson.
Do we have anybody else in the room that didn't get a chance? We have one more, it looks like.
Hello, I'm Robert Baglio. I'm at the BJC Group. I do own a construction company that's been in the area for about 25 years. And I just wanted to make a couple comments to some of the comments that were made. First, regarding, I guess, runoff being untreated, anything that's been developed since 1990 has full water quality treatment facilities that were a part of the development of the project. So if there's anything that's going untreated, unabated into drainage channels, it was something that was developed probably prior to 1980 or even 1970. So I guess I just want to clarify that. Anything that's developed now has water quality facilities as a part of it. It has detention, it has retention, And it's really the most costly thing that you do when you do development anymore is the treatment of stormwater runoff. So I guess I want to make sure that's very clear. Also, I would like to say that DCD is doing their job. They do a thorough review of all the permits. I don't know if anyone here actually gets permits, but if you have or recently received one, it takes quite some time to get a permit. And that's because of the thorough review that is being done. So I guess I'd like to go ahead and I guess eliminate the misstatement because DCD is truly doing their job. Also, just regarding the comp plan, you know, I think there's a little bit of maybe miseducation or lack of education. Obviously, the comprehensive plan went ahead and identified areas for growth and areas where we're going to keep the area rural. Kitsap County went through that. We've identified our rural areas, and now we have our areas for growth. It's identified by the comp plan. The decision was made to go ahead and have growth occur in those areas. And that's what's happening right now with some of the apartments and whatnot that you see occurring. And those are actually occurring in the areas we've identified for growth. Obviously, here in Port Orchard, almost all of those are happening within the city of Port Orchard limits. And that's what the comp plan wants to do, is actually put that growth in the cities. Our rural areas are not going to change, and they're going to stay rural. It takes a modification of the comp plan. And really, we're not looking at any large changes in the area for development. So those were a couple things I guess I just wanted to go ahead and point out. And then also some of the items regarding the critical areas ordinance with buffer averaging and administrative variances, you know, those are useful tools to assist in the development of property in areas that have been identified for growth. So those are just a few things I wanted to respond to some of the comments that we heard tonight. So thank you. And I guess I would like to say I do back the gentleman that spoke for the KBA with Ecological Land Services. He does this for a living, been doing it for a long time, and he speaks with a lot of experience and knowledge. Thank you.
Thank you. And anyone else in the audience? Okay, we will go to Mr. Heyman.
Good evening, commissioners. Doug Heyman, North Kitsap. I wanted to make a few comments in support of the CAO updates. I support those comments that both tribes, the Suquamish and the Port Gamble-Squallam tribe, have made, especially the 25% and no more buffer reductions. Not long ago, we saw an 89% buffer reduction for a North Kitsap development that was on land that was almost entirely wetland. So that kind of thing needs to stop happening. We have finite land here in Kitsap. Even if we remained with our current critical buffers, there's going to be a pinch point at which, you know, builders can't keep developing and developing. There's going to be a spot where you've, you know, run out of that space. And that's why they're doing more of this building up and not out. And then in terms of the documents that are on the critical area ordinance update page, the ones that are on the Planning Commission's agenda list for tonight, the one document that has all the comments was around 500 pages, and it's really an unwieldy thing to work with. I would ask that documents like that get broken up into a more manageable size. A few of the ones that are in there included the entire draft from March 8th with comments on them. So it just, it kind of bogs your computer down to even like weed your way through stuff like that. And it would make it an easier process for citizens and for the Planning Commission as well to be able to look through these documents and make sense of them. And finally, I wrote to Colin Poff earlier today regarding, you know, the draft came out in March 8th, and people submitted comments following that. The deadline was, I think, April 26th. And there appears to be nothing showing how those comments are being ingested and acted upon. So whenever that's possible to share that with the public, I request that, you know, the public, whether you're pro-development or pro-environment, get wind of, you know, how those comments are being acted upon and what the thinking is. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. And I do not see anyone else online. So I will close the public comment.
We've got some hands coming up now.
Oh, there we go. We'll start with Ron Horitsky.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Ron Perkowitz from Central Valley and a member of the KBA and past DCD director. The one thing that I've noticed is that some of these buffers have doubled or increased, and the buildable lands inventory that was done a couple of years ago and used for the comp plan did not take into account the doubling of the critical areas. And in some cases, they're taking out large chunks of what could be buildable lands inventory. And I would like to maybe see a quick analysis done as to how much of the buildable lands now is not available for development within the urban growth areas, especially with the new critical areas ordinance. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And the Kitsap Environmental Coalition.
Hello, this is Beverly Parsons. I, although I'm a member of the Kitsap Environmental Coalition, I am not speaking for them tonight. I'm speaking for myself as an individual. I want to be sure that the public comments are seriously taken into account, and that there is a document actually that you provide that shows the connection between the comments and the changes that are made in the CAO. As someone already mentioned, the long list of comments are very hard to look at this point in time. And it's really important to me as a researcher that the comments are analyzed in an objective way with stated criteria that are made apparent to the public. As you well know, there are many different perspectives represented tonight and in the comments. And so I would really encourage you to ensure that any changes that are made in the code can be tied to specific criteria and to show the relationship with the public comments. I know, for example, that the AKEC working group had listed several criteria to consider. I'm sure you have others, but I would ask that you look at those and consider this idea of being really clear about the criteria that are being used on which decisions are made. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And we'll give it a few seconds here to see if anyone else. And not seeing anyone else, I will close the public comment period for today. Thank you. All right. Next item on our agenda is the general public comment period. This is the time that we will hear any comments public has. Nope. Going twice. Not seeing anyone wishing to speak, I will close that period. We are now... Is. All right. That brings us to the for the good of the order or commissioner comments.
Go ahead and come forward to the mic, please.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing about the affordable housing and the one gentleman he left, the one who was a realtor before. We call this quote unquote affordable housing. These are apartments going up. And another older gentleman spoke about a month or 2 months ago about the idea of what is actually housing, and that we're really trying to aspire to having younger people come in for a 900 to 1200 square foot apartment and call in this housing. I don't think that's exactly the American dream. And in the end, it doesn't help our economy locally. All this is doing is causing problems. We can't even fill in county jobs. People, these county jobs have been open for a while. And so this so-called demand of all the people coming over, I think, is borderline fictitious and exaggerated at best. There is housing here. There's houses for sale. It's called supply and demand. And there's nothing, the supply and demand's okay. It's still there. It operates. So I just want to be careful, because I see we're putting in all these apartments as opposed to condominiums even. I mean, I just want to be careful with what we actually end up building. But thank you again for your time.
All right. Thank you.
What was your name, sir?
Sorry, Anthony Agello from South Kitsap.
Thank
Port
you.
Orchard. Thanks.
Okay. No one else online. No one here. Okay. We're back to, for the good of the order, commissioner comments at this time.
I guess I'd just like to say how much I appreciate the public participation today, the diverse ideas that were shared. I really do appreciate people taking the time to share your ideas. Those of you who came not wanting to speak but stood up and shared your thoughts, I want to thank you for taking the time to do that. This is what makes our community a strong community, is sharing our ideas and building off one another's expertise. We have to intentionally plan ahead together. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other comments? No? Okay. That brings us to the end of our meeting. If I don't hear any objections, we will go ahead and close the meeting for tonight, and then we will be back in June 4th. Thank you. All right, good night.
Thank you, everyone.